Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's conversation in the book of Luke. It's a conversation that's quickly coming to a close because the book is quickly coming to a close. We're in chapter number 24, the very last chapter of the book of Luke, and we've been talking through, Eric and I, we've been talking through the reaction that those closest to the ministry of Jesus have had to the news of his bodily resurrection. And so far, the reactions have not been good.
No, you would think that they would be resolved, they would be foundationed in what he had already taught them. You'd think that him pouring himself into them would have taken root a little bit more than this. But
nobody had seen more miracles. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew him better. Nobody heard his words more often. And yet they were all reluctant to believe.
Right.
And we're going to see that reluctancy continue here in Luke 24 and look at verse, is it 13?
13, yes, sir.
Hang on, let me just get here. I'm reading the Bible off my phone and my phone always goes to
Rebel.
Lock mode.
Rebel.
So here we go. Verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, a few miles away. And they talked together of all those things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, so they're talking about it, they're talking about how Jesus was crucified, they're talking about what they had expected to happen, how their hopes had been dashed. They're trying to come up with a rationale for all of it, explain it. So they're communing, they're reasoning. The Bible says Jesus himself drew near and went with them. He joined that twosome, mm-hmm. and now as three, they're walking together and talking, which is very common.
Yeah.
Back in those days, you walked everywhere,
mm-hmm.
and walking was a time to commune, to talk.
Just to hang out. Yep.
To fellowship. I've been to Israel on many occasions, and when we go to Israel, we always try to do some short hikes. And it's interesting because we hike little portions of what's called the Jesus Trail, paths that Jesus would have walked himself with his disciples. And I always get the same feedback from people after we do that. And that is, wow, Kurt, that was one of my favorite things to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because what inevitably happens on those hikes is you walk with one person for a while and you talk and you just kind of chew the fat or talk about the things you're seeing or the things you're learning. And then you may join by another person or you may be a lag behind because you're walking at a different pace. And that's what's happening here. These three are having this conversation on the way to Emmaus. Now, unbeknownst to them, it is Jesus that joined them. Look at verse 16. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. So Jesus is with them. They don't recognize him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? Hey, guys, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it's something that is deep because you guys seem like so depressed.
Yeah.
What is it?
Mm-hmm.
He says.
He could have just shown himself, at that point. But almost like comical to me because he comes in, he just wants to find out kind of what they're thinking and what they're doing.
And remember, Jesus never asks a question he doesn't already know the answer to.
Right.
So Jesus doesn't ask questions because he doesn't know. Jesus asks questions because we don't know. So when God said, Adam, where art thou? God knew where Adam was,
mm-hmm.
but Adam didn't know where Adam was. When Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Jesus knew the quality of Peter's love, but Peter didn't entirely understand. He was helping him. So if God is asking a question, he's not looking for an answer. He's looking for you to learn something. So here in verse 18, and the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? In other words, where have you been?
Right, right.
You know, did you just arrive?
Yeah.
Because this is like what everybody is talking about. That this is on the consciousness of every single person in the city. How could you say you don't know what's going on? They put it right back on him. They're incredulous.
Yeah.
And I love how it unfolds here in verse 19. And he said unto them, What things? Excuse me. I sound like I have a smoker's cough. I can promise you I'm not smoking. Oh, it's so funny to me.
Yeah.
Because Jesus plays right along with them.
Yeah.
Oh, what things are you talking? What are you talking about, guys? Yeah. And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. So they said, what do you mean, what things? The things about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a mighty prophet. He did great miracles. And more than that, we thought he was the Messiah.
Yeah.
That's what we thought.
Yeah.
But you know, he's dead now.
When they asked that question to him about, What do you mean? What do you mean? What things? It showed of the fame and kind of the bigness of that event that happened in Jerusalem where Jesus died. And then here, one of the saddest verses, you just read it. It says that we trusted, like past tense.
Right.
We trusted.
Right.
And then the next part says
that he was a prophet.
Yeah,
we
was.
Trusted.
And then he should have redeemed.
Right.
This is what he should have done.
Yeah.
But it didn't come to pass.
We thought that this is, we were convinced that he was the guy and we were wrong.
So
now,
sad.
Here's what's really kind of exacerbating the problem in our minds. Here's what's really confusing us. Look at verse 22. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. So Cleopas and the other partner here, some would say it was even his wife, but the other disciple, they were there when the women came and said. So they were part of that group. And then they traveled to Emmaus. So these aren't two of the 11,
right.
But this is two of the company that heard the women. So he says, these women made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. When they found not his body, they came saying that they also had seen a vision of angels, which they said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. So, you know, we're so confused because Jesus was amazing. He did miracles. We thought he was the Messiah, but then he died and it was all over. But then today these women came and they said they saw angels. The angels said he wasn't there, but he's alive. And we don't know what to think.
Yeah. And it shows, if you look back, it shows the weight of the weight of the words of these ladies. As these ladies came into the room, it says here that they were these ladies have made us astonished. They've made us surprised. So really, in the last episode, we were talking about how maybe when the ladies came in, the disciples were, you know, not really believing them. They were still perplexed. But now we read, as we look back, that some impact did happen as these ladies came into the room.
They can't dismiss it, can they?
Nope.
But they can't dismiss it, and yet they can't discern it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in this murky middle of, something happened. We don't know what happened. And Jesus is about now to clarify all of it. So look at verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools. That's an attention getter.
He doesn't even know these guys,
yeah.
You know?
O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So guys, why are you so reluctant to believe what the scriptures so emphatically have taught? And then he says this, verse 26, ought not Christ? Remember, Christ is the title. It refers to Messiah. Shouldn't Messiah have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now watch the verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So you know what they did for the next 2 hours? They had a Bible study.
Yeah.
And Jesus went through scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture from their Bible, showing them that, listen, everything that happened was predicted.
Yeah.
He no doubt went to Psalm 22. He talked about how Messiah would be pierced, how they would gamble his clothes. He talked about Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 in Bethlehem. He talked about Isaiah chapter 53 and the lamb that was led to the slaughter. He talked about all of it. Psalm 118, the stone which the builders disallowed, all of it. He went from scripture to scripture to scripture to scripture, showing, listen, this is exactly what the Bible taught. The Passover lamb, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, how could you have missed what God so carefully has predicted? You know, he could have just said, okay, guys, it's me.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's my wounds. Look at me. But you know what Jesus did? He didn't affix their faith to the experience of walking with him. You know why? Because you and I don't have that experience of physically walking with Jesus. There's only a finite number of people that have ever seen him physically. So Jesus wasn't basing faith upon an experience of seeing him physically.
Mm-hmm.
Paul saw him, but not everyone sees him physically, okay? Mm-hmm. But he was basing faith upon the word of God. Mm-hmm. He went back and said, guys, you should have known this. Why the Bible says it, the Bible says it, the Bible says it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's so good, because guess what you and I have? We have the complete revelation of God's word.
Yep.
And the Bible's saying here in Luke chapter 24, verses 25 through 27, that all of the Bible is all about Jesus.
Yep. You could see it cultivating the hearts of these men and really softening them for what he was about to show them or what he was about to tell them. But I love how you said, you know, he was trying to help them base what they believe off of faith and not off sight. I love that thought.
In John chapter 5, he had said to the council earlier in his ministry, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and the scriptures are they which testify of me. So Jesus had emphatically taught throughout his ministry, all the Bible is about the story of man, you know, creation, the fall of man, redemption, and consummation. Mm-hmm. So the Bible is the book that details God's redemption, his reclaiming of man. So therefore, it's about grace. It's about Christ, the embodiment of grace. And he says to these people on the road to Emmaus, guys, you should know this because the Bible says it. So my friends, let's be students of the Word of God, not just in an academic way, not in a Pharisaical way, right, when we know the words in our mind, mm-hmm, but he said, you've been slow of heart. You know, mm-hmm, let's take the Word of God to heart. Believe what God says. Trust the Christ of the Bible and see what God can do in our lives by faith. I appreciate you joining us today. Looking forward to jumping right back in next episode. Have a great and godly day in the Lord. God bless, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.